A family had invited several people to Thanksgiving dinner. When they were gathered at the table, it came time for the blessing, and the mother turned to their 6-year-old daughter and asked if she would like to say the blessing. The 6-year-old answered, "But Mummy, I'm not sure what to say." Her mother replied, "Just say what you hear Mummy say." The little girl bowed her head and said, "Dear Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" As much as it is always some trouble to gather people together in community, it's what life is really all about. Moving out of our aloneness into community. It is what makes our life rich and full. We are living in a time of great upheaval and divisiveness. People feel very much alone and isolated. Harold Kushner says that loneliness is a spiritual crisis of our time. The gaps between the rich and the poor are ever widening. Election campaigns are fraught with put-downs and insults. More and more people feel depressed and suicidal. We are living in an age of great anxiety as we face climate change. It is an unprecedented time. And so we wonder how to navigate our lives through this quagmire of fear and anger and mistrust and aloneness. Mark Nepo is a spiritual author who has written numerous books, Book of Awakening, Endless Practice. But his most recent book, More Together Than Alone, reflects on the importance of community, of togetherness. His book outlines how humans through history and various cultures have upheld countless examples of demonstrating compassion and expressing empathy for one another. He reminds us that learning to live in community with one another is the only way forward, that we are more together than alone, and it must be in our togetherness that we live. And so, one of the many examples he gives is in the book he writes about the indigenous practice of the potlatch, which was outlawed by both Canadian and American governments. We were somehow threatened by the potlatch. And yet it was all about community sharing. Often held in winter, the potlatch ceremony was a communal way of distributing wealth and resources among those who were in need within the tribe. It was also a means for resolving grievances and maintaining and expanding social relationships. The ceremony's givers gave away as many personal belongings as they could afford. And potlatch recipients were obligated to give away more than they received if they could, to pay it forward as you would. It was often held on the occasion of births or deaths, adoptions and weddings, whenever there was a need for new beginnings. It was a way of preventing one family in the community from accumulating too much wealth. These early indigenous communities recognized that it was not self-interest that helps us to survive, but it is in sharing, it is in cooperating with one another, that we find our best selves and the survival of our species. In our scripture this morning that Harvey just read, we see a wonderful example of the Christian community at its best. In the midst of political and religious oppression, it was their strength of being a close community that helped the early Christians to live more fulfilling lives. Even though they too, like all faith communities, struggled through differences of opinion, or diversity of background, or theological difference, or different spiritual practices. We are told that they came together as a community to break bread together, to eat together, to pray and sing songs together, that there was not a needy person among them because everyone shared with one another what they had. And what wonders and miracles and awe happened every day because they shared together. We can feel the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit whenever differences are accepted and belonging is made possible despite disputes and difficulties. This past week, there was a house fire at Craig and Lee Streets, and a mother and her young adult son escaped with only their two cats. They had to leave behind their phone, their purses, their wallets, all of their belongings, even the urn that held the ashes of her husband that they had buried a year earlier because of lung cancer. And they watched as everything they owned was destroyed. A friend of the family's contacted our church and asked for help. And because of your generosity to the minister's discretionary fund, we were able to provide food vouchers to their family, for which they were very grateful. But I think what was even more important that we provided as a community is that when they called, we said, "Come in, talk with us." And they sat in my office sharing their story of struggle with cancer and loss and addiction, and it became evident once again that it is only through community, through togetherness, that real comfort and strengthening can be experienced. It is in the sharing of our stories and of our resources that reminds us that we're not alone, that people care, and it helps to make life more bearable. That togetherness is the only way ever forward. I was so grateful for our church's discretionary fund that made that sharing of our resources possible. We are far more together than alone. Kairos, which is an ecumenical group of church folks that is concerned about social justice, is bringing all of the churches in our community together to try and find a solution to the operation of a cold weather shelter in Oceanside, because Orca Place is not allowed to open that cold weather shelter. So it's been suggested that churches in our area each take turn one night a week between November to the end of March to offer food and shelter and friendship to those who are most vulnerable and homeless. So all of the clergy will be meeting Wednesday night in our lounge at Knox to discuss how we might find two paid staff each night to proceed so that both volunteers and guests are safe. Both churches that I served in Calgary housed the homeless like that for over 30 years. And the presence of the poor and the well-placed together, communing, breaking bread together, sharing together, enriched our lives. All of our lives were enriched by that sharing. Barriers between people came down. It is only through the sharing of our stories that community is created. There is so much more we can do together than we can alone. Greta Thunberg, the young Swedish girl who is on the autism spectrum and was once feeling depressed and alone and suicidal, speaks of finding a purposefulness in bringing young people from around the world together to raise awareness of the perils of climate change. What began as the protest of a single 16-year-old girl sitting by herself on the steps of Sweden's parliament has become a worldwide protest of togetherness. We are far more together than alone. Every Tuesday morning, every Tuesday lunch, and after school on Tuesdays, people gather at the gathering place in our lounge. Different people gathering around our round tables to share a meal or a snack together, to answer questions, some to play games together, to spend some time just getting to know each other and hearing one another's stories and finding what we share in common. It is what life is all about, coming together and sharing this journey. On Thursday morning, a group of us gathered for a six-week book study on Mark Nepo's book, More Together Than Alone. It was a wonderful 90 minutes of people sharing stories of times when we too had experienced the strength that comes in feeling part of a community. I remember going on a trip through 8 states and 3 provinces, just stopping wherever at a diner or on the beach or wherever life happened to find us, our journey. And we would stop and ask the question, what constitutes a whole life? And one of the key threads, the common themes that ran through all those conversations was community. I remember we had been told, oh, you should go to this transgender cafe and go there and you have people that are transgender serving you. So we're like, all right, that's where we'll go. So we went and we met Greg. And Greg was there, clearly a man dressed in a beautiful dress, and his nails were perfectly done, his hair was perfectly coiffed, he looked way better than I did. And we asked Greg, what constitutes a whole life for you, Greg? And he said, my community, being part of an authentic community that's real and I can just be myself. It's like the show Cheers, you know? Where you can go and everybody knows your name and you're counted and you matter. And it doesn't matter what you look like or what you think or what you believe, you're included. Being part of an authentic community helps to make me whole. I've never forgotten Greg. He taught me a lot. I want you to take a moment of sharing, to turn to a person closest to you, and if you're sitting alone, go find somebody and describe a time in your life when you experienced that sense of community, of togetherness, of being more together than alone. Just take a couple minutes. So,
it's time for a nap.
What about you, Chris?
You said the same.
So, what about you? When have you felt an extraordinary community?
Right here.
Yeah. 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 You couldn't
Yeah.
So you found more community here at Knox. Yeah. People and getting to know people. Yeah. What about
I don't mind talking to
Yeah.
You can go anywhere. I can go anywhere.
Yeah. What about walking along the boardwalk, right? Walking and then talking with anyone. Yeah. Yeah.
If we can gather back I like what Mark Nepo says, that community doesn't need to happen over long periods of time. It can happen in just a serendipitous brief moment. Community can be created, finding, discovering what we share more in common than apart. So I'd like to share with you a final video that it was put up on a street in a busy city. It's just a ballroom. You know those ballroom things? You know, for little kids, you know, they sit in those balls? What do you call them? A ball pit. A ball pit. So they put this ball pit in the middle of a downtown city and just put a sign above that says, "Take a seat, make a friend." And so we see what happens, how community is created.
Never.
You gotta go.
No, I've seen them, but I've never been in one.
You know, I remember these ball pits, like kids grew up in them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's see.
Okay, this is a good one. Share three things on your bucket list.
First one is to go skydiving.
I want to go skydiving.
Have you ever had those dreams where you're just like floating and, you know, you're flying and everything? Scuba diving is just exactly that.
Don't you get afraid of drowning or being underwater or getting attacked by an octopus or any of those things?
I want to learn curling.
What is it?
Like that Winter Olympic sport.
Oh, all right, where you slide the...
And then it's like bowling and sweeping.
Find one thing you have in common. Do you play sports?
Not currently.
I play soccer, so...
Soccer?
Yeah. All right.
Actually, I play the drums. Do you play any instruments?
I quit everything I ever tried.
All right,
Actually, fun fact, these aren't real teeth. Yeah.
I have a flipper tooth.
Really?
Ah! Oh my God! No! I can't wait.
What?
My front tooth!
Oh my gosh.
You know,
don't even understand. I swear to God, I feel like someone planted us here for this reason.
Destiny.
Describe the first time you fell in love.
Oh, I think it was kindergarten. I don't remember his name, but he was beautiful.
I was in the Navy.
You were in the Navy?
And my husband was in the Navy. Long story short, before he ever kissed me or we were ever really together, he told me he loved me. 24 years later, we're more in love and we're better friends than even from the very beginning.
That's true love in its finest.
Yeah. Talk about someone who inspires you.
Is it all right to talk about somebody that's a religious character?
Yeah, why not? Uh-huh. This is our ballpark. We can talk about whoever we want, right?
Jesus.
All right.
Just my peers. They're all creative in their own ways and have their own realities and own lessons. I just grow from everybody else's as well as my own.
Martin Luther King, I think, because the fact that we're sitting in this box together is a big deal, you know?
You know who inspires me, believe it or not, is my daughter. She is everything I ever wanted to be.
All right. Talk about the experience that changed your life. Oh, that's a good one. After my wife decided that it was time that we split, I started to have a different perspective on life. I saw women differently. I saw relationships differently. I think I became more appreciative of women.
How old did you say you are? 20?
Yeah.
Okay. At the age of 21, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And it pulled the rug out from all my plans. It really changes the way you look at things.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother has it.
Who does?
My grandmother.
There's our common.
We found the common.
We found the common.
That's why we're still here. We found the common.
Oh, create a secret handshake. Ooh. Okay.
Okay, but nothing was spit.
Okay, so that.
I need both hands. Okay. So this.
And then whoever gets on the top makes a flag.
Oh, now I forgot what it is.
And then, like, maybe a little twitch in the middle.
One, two.
High ten.
All right,
we did it.
That was awesome. I actually had a lot of fun. I was a little bit nervous because normally you don't hang out with strangers in ball pits. I got to learn some pretty cool things about you.
Okay. It was really nice to meet you.
You too.
I hope I see
you
again.
Okay.
I'm really impressed by you. I was worried that I would start talking to you like a mom. I don't know if I did.
No.
Nah, you didn't. Trust me, you did good.
On this Thanksgiving Sunday, may we celebrate and give thanks for the gift of community among us. In the little ways, in the big ways, may we recognize that wherever two or three are gathered together, there will the Spirit be. Amen.